Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
Some music expresses intense passion and fury, but what if you're a sweet young musician who's, well, happy most of the time? On today's show, we'll hear about the humorous way a teenage violinist pumps herself up to play some of Shostakovich's most turbulent music. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're at Weber State University's Austed Auditorium in Ogden, Utah, where we'll also hear a talented duo from here in Utah play Tchaikovsky. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you, and welcome, everybody. Special thanks to Weber State University Cultural Affairs for bringing us to this beautiful venue. About a half hour north of Salt Lake City, Ogden is nestled between the Great Salt Lake to the west and some of the greatest ski country in America just to the east. You've heard of schools, maybe you've heard of schools in Maine or Kansas giving kids the day off to harvest potatoes or corn. Well, here in Utah, they give kids the day off just because the place is so beautiful. I'm serious. A local pianist you'll meet today says his school gives him time off to go hiking and skiing. I mean, wow. When I was a kid in Chicago, we only had days off from school to go watch the traffic on the Kennedy Expressway or watch the Cubs lose every day or something. Nowhere near as cool as ski days. But we're not going to diss Chicago. We've got some great Chicago musicians on the program today. Let's face it, it doesn't have the glorious mountains of Utah, though. Our first young performer, like me, is also a bit more familiar with the big city than he is with the pure mountain air. Please welcome, from Katona, New York, just outside of New York City, 17-year-old oboist Nick Tischerman. Welcome, Nick. You're starting us off with Mozart. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
We're going to be playing the first movement of the Mozart Oboe Quartet in F.
When you are set at center stage, we will take it from the top. Thank you. Nicholas Tischerman, a 17-year-old oboist from Katona, New York, playing Mozart. Well, Nick, I really enjoyed playing that with you. You just have such a great sense about it. You should share with everybody, you have a wonderful way of thinking about this particular piece and how one should play it.
Yeah, I feel like from every teacher I've heard, Mozart is always supposed to be light, and it's supposed to be happy and frilly, and I always had trouble playing light and happy and frilly. Mm-hmm. And really what unlocked Mozart for me is just thinking of it as an aria, because Mozart is so big on opera,
yeah,
and a lot of his opera just shows up in all of his other pieces, so I just decided one day to play it as if I was singing, and it just totally helped.
it really does lend a nice sort of sensibility to your performance, and there's a fluidity and an elasticity about it that makes it much nicer to collaborate with. Really enjoyable. Now, playing the oboe is just obviously you're born to it, but given your family, it's very surprising that you're playing the oboe at all.
My grandpa was a clarinetist. My uncle is a clarinetist. He's the professor at Northwestern. Huh. My cousin's finishing up his bachelor's at MSM, and my brother's a clarinetist, and I picked the oboe.
You see. Yeah, I was hearing a pattern emerging there. What brought you to the oboe? Was there the instrument petting zoo back in third grade or something?
Yeah, we got a demonstration of all the instruments. You know, this is a violin, this is a trombone, this is the oboe, but stay away from it because it's a challenge. And I said, sign me up.
Sign me up. Likes a challenge and rises to it. What do you do? What do you want to do? I know playing in an orchestra would be a great thing, but I know you want to teach a little bit too, yes?
Yeah, I mean, I'd really love to be like make a living as a teacher and a performer, just because I think the one-on-one relationship in music is just the best part of the whole trade. You have a lesson and there's just two people in the world, and you and your teacher, and I just think that's great, and the relationship is so great.
It's a great sense of immersion and concentration, and actually, as you say, also the verbalization of the work that you're doing on your own and sharing mm-hmm. that with somebody else. Well, I learned a lot from you playing that Mozart, Nick, so I think you've got the teaching bug and the playing bug. It's great having you on the show.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for being with us, and best of luck to you.
Thanks.
Nick Tischerman, 17 years old, our oboist from Katona, New York. And now for some kids from here in Utah. On stage with me now are Aubrey Oliverson, 13 years old. She's playing the violin. She's from the town of Orem, Utah. And Anastasia Magomedova, 14-year-old pianist, who's from Murray, Utah. They call themselves the Midnight Duo. Aubrey, what are you two going to play?
We're going to be playing the third movement of Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto in D major. Thank you.
The Midnight Duo, Aubrey Oliverson, 13-year-old violinist from Orem, Utah, and Anastasia Magomedova, 14-year-old pianist from Murray, Utah. Anastasia is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Both girls study at the Gifted Music School with Eugene and Vera Watanabe. Well, that was spectacular.
Thank
ladies.
You.
Really
Thank
nice. You. Really beautiful. I know that music is important in both your families. Aubrey,
yes.
You all perform together, yes?
Uh-huh. My dad plays the piano, and I have two younger siblings, ages 10 and 7, and they both play violin. And we love to perform together, and my mom really supports us and helps us practice. And actually, sometimes I write music for three violins and piano that we can perform, so it's
That's
really
great.
Fun.
Wow, so you're on all barrels, composing and performing in such a virtuoso style. Good for you. And Anastasia, tell the story about the Youth Guild competition and how your mm-hmm. brother helped you out there.
It was my brother's birthday, the same day as the Youth Guild auditions, and the only present he said that he wanted was for me to win these auditions. And so I did, and he said that it was the best present.
That is the best Aww. Present. It's how nice of your brother to say that. Hey, what's it like when two junior high school girls get together to rehearse, Anastasia? I guess this is what it's like. I've heard this is what it's like. Do you girls just giggle through all your rehearsals? Do you giggle through your lessons with Mr. Watanabe?
No, we are good when we're good? At our teacher's yeah. house. Okay. We really are.
But like when you're rehearsing with each other?
Ourselves. Yes, we can control ourselves. But
yeah, but not when you're on your own.
At one of our houses,
we
then
can't stop laughing.
What's the collaboration like, though, when you do stop giggling? How well
goodness.
Do you work together? Aubrey, what do you think?
Anastasia is amazing. She is such an amazing pianist, and she is so just good at following me, mm-hmm. and she will just, I'll be like, I want to play this part this way, and then she'll ask me how I want to play other parts, and we just work together really well since we're best friends, and yeah.
Yeah, and Anastasia, here yes, you are, you memorized that Tchaikovsky, too, learning to play with Aubrey. That's amazing in itself. And so do you obviously feel that Aubrey's easy to follow and fun
yes,
to work with?
Yes, and she fixes everything very fast, mm-hmm. and it's really easy to follow her. Also,
you're very quick and very sweet, both of you, and extraordinary musicians. Really a great pleasure hearing you in the Tchaikovsky. Thank you for being with us, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
The Midnight Duo, Aubrey Oliverson, 13, from Orem, Utah, and Anastasia Magomedova, 14 years old, from Murray, Utah.
Aubrey and Anastasia sound wonderful, and they're so full of life that seeing them play is wonderful, too. I caught their performance on my flip cam, and I'll post it on my blog at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. One of the great sopranos of our time, the international superstar Renee Fleming, yes, that Renee Fleming, happens to be a fan of our little radio show. She has something in common with the teenage soprano up next, so we asked her if she'd do the honor of making the introduction. Renee and I spoke earlier. Hey, Renee, it's Christopher O'Reilly calling. How are you?
Hi, so wonderful to talk to you.
We all know you as the elegant soprano giving recitals and singing in opera houses around the world, but when you were the age of the kids on our show, you were spending almost as much time mucking out stalls as you were singing. Is that right?
Oh, that's right, absolutely. And carrying water that was frozen, and a major work ethic is connected to caring for horses. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much about developing a relationship with an unruly participant, you know, a horse or your voice.
Right.
My father's favorite statement was, they can't feed themselves. And that day in and day out dedication to something. And that's the kind of practice and the kind of self-discipline required in mastering any instrument. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy that I had sort of was raised with that kind of work ethic, or I don't know, you know, that I would have been competitive enough on my own to achieve the level required of me. But, mm-hmm. you know, because I was used to working and I knew what that entailed, that sort of substituted for that crazy competitiveness that some people have.
Well, the young soprano up next on our show is just beginning what will certainly be many years of auditions. Now, you've written that you learned what makes for a good audition the hard way. Any words of advice for a young soprano?
I would say definitely put forward what you do best, and that was a mistake I made. I was trying to impress people and singing things I really couldn't sing well. That was a mistake. And then I would also say that you have to, in a sense, put aside your anxieties and your fears and almost act or portray the person you would want to be in an audition.
Interesting.
Once I was able to kind of channel what a confident, charismatic person would be like in an audition, mm-hmm. then I started to have better luck with it.
I want to mention that you have a fantastic new CD on the Decca label called Poème, and it's all French music, including Ravel, Messiaen, and a gorgeous suite composed specifically for you by Henri Dutilleux. Renee, will you please introduce our 18-year-old soprano?
I would love to. And now from the town of McAllen, Texas, this is 18-year-old soprano Hannah Urias performing Quando Me Vo from Puccini's La Bohème.
Urias, 18 years old, a soprano from McAllen, Texas, singing Quando Me Vo from Puccini's La Bohème. Brava, diva. That was beautiful. That was so gorgeous hearing you sing that. Hey, what was it like to be introduced by Renee Fleming? Have her as your warm-up act. Pretty nice, huh?
A little bit.
Were you expecting that? You weren't expecting that necessarily.
Wow, I can't even talk about it. It's
yeah, really. By the way, everybody, my full interview with Renee Fleming is up at fromthetop.org. Hannah, we asked you to record some voices and sounds from back home in Texas. Let's listen, and you can fill in the details, okay?
Okay.
Check this out.
Hello, I'm Martin, and I'm Hannah's uncle.
This is your aunt. Elizabeth, I wish you the best of the future.
Hola, soy Carlos Urias, soy tío de Hannah.
This is your uncle Jorge. I am very excited about all what is going on in your life.
Hi, I'm Miguel, and I'm Hannah's cousin.
Hi, this is Joaquin, I'm Hannah's cousin.
This is Lizzie, Hannah's cousin.
Hi, I'm Albert, and I'm Hannah's cousin.
Hey, Hannah, this is George, your
because...
Do you know all those people?
Yes, and there are quite a few more that I don't know.
Wow. Oh, those are all your family?
Mm-hmm.
And where are they? Are they all in McAllen, or where are they?
Well, I have two uncles in McAllen, and one of them has three kids, the other has two kids. And then I have an uncle in New Mexico, Las Cruces, and he has two kids. And then I have three more uncles and two more aunts in Mexico. And both my aunts have three children, and then one of my uncles has three children.
What a beautiful thing. You're from deep in the heart of Texas, but I don't detect a Texas accent.
We have a very different kind of accent where I'm from. There's too much influence from Mexico to really have that kind of a southern drawl type going on, but there are other accents.
There you go.
In my area.
I mentioned that you and Renee Fleming have something in common. You've both had horses in your teenage years. Your dad works in a place where you can ride as much as you want.
My name is Alejandro, and I'm Hannah's proud father. I'm also the manager for Santa Fe Feeders, a cattle feedlot located in South Texas. Our job here is to care and feed about 8,000 head of animal year-round.
Those cows do not sound happy. I mean, probably well-fed. That's how they get their complaining voice up. So your dad's feedlot is where you get to ride?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really huge amount of land, and we get to go out there and ride. We have one horse that we actually have, and his name is Tuffy. And he's getting a little too old to ride now, so we ride some of the other horses, but they're all really fun to ride.
The image of the elegant opera singer in training hanging out at a huge feedlot, but you enjoy you know, getting in there and getting dirty, and you
don't
mind.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I have no problem getting my hands dirty or getting my boots dirty. So
you can always clean up afterwards.
Yeah, you can take a shower afterwards. It's okay.
So a Mexican cowgirl who sings opera. Here's another voice for you. Who is that?
That is my voice teacher, Dr. Mazias de Oliveira. He is a 60-something-year-old Brazilian man, and he's very intense.
He's very intense and quite passionate. And
he's very intimidating at first, but after about four or five lessons, things really clicked, and I realized that he was actually a really wonderful teacher.
Improvements were being made, et cetera.
Yes, exactly.
He's also the director of the South Texas Lyric Opera, and I hear that he had you understudy for the role of Musetta in La Boheme, the role you just sang, actually. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
It went really well. I came very, very close to singing the role. The woman who was hired to sing the role, she had type A flu. And so, like, the whole week before the performance, she couldn't sing at rehearsal. She missed a lot of rehearsals, so I had to stand in for her a lot. And it was really scary the couple days before because I didn't have it quite down. So I had to have a bunch of extra rehearsals with the pianist and with some of the other roles. And we actually got together in their hotel lobby and rehearsed for a couple hours the day before the show. And then about 20 minutes before the show started, actually, she came and she was like, "No, no, no, it's okay. I'll be fine. Just sing the high notes with me if you feel like I'm too weak."
So, well, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been a real, pressured situation. But there's also a matter of, like, coming through in the clinches that, you know, everybody's rooting for you. So was it eventually a positive experience, you think?
Yeah, it really was. It was a really good experience getting to work so much with all the other professional singers. Yeah. And it was kind of disappointing not being able to actually sing it, but at the same time, it was a huge relief.
Yes. Well, I think your disappointments are soon to be at an end. I have every confidence we'll be hearing a lot more from you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hannah. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Hannah Urias, 18 years old, our soprano from McAllen, Texas.
Ever heard From the Top and wondered what it would be like to see it live? Well, this fall we'll be taping our show in Troy, New York, Davis, California, Sarasota, Florida, and we may be coming to a town near you. Check out our taping schedule at fromthetop.org and hope to see you at the show.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations. And from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And from the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. This week, we're coming to you from Weber State University's Austed Auditorium in Ogden, Utah. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Our final performer is a 14-year-old pianist from an hour away in Utah, in this town of Logan. Please welcome Trenton Chang. Trenton, you had the opportunity to play with the Utah Symphony this year. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. But tell the story, because you know this is what always people remember, you know. Don't you hate that? The story about when you first played with them, I guess when you were 11, yes? Maybe more than
yes,
a year
11.
Ago. It's kind of every soloist's nightmare. Tell everybody.
It is. So basically, when I was 11, I was selected to play with the Utah Symphony after auditioning. And being 11, I was really excited. And naturally, I was really, really nervous because this was the biggest thing I'd done so far. So basically, I prepared. And then it got to the concert night, and I went on, started playing. And then after a while, I realized I forgot to come in somewhere. And then, so naturally, I came in late, and then it was a big mess, and, well, somehow the conductor managed to clear that up, and after that, well, I'm glad I calmed down.
Yeah. You love being outside in Utah. It's mm-hmm. really a great place to live for that. Tell everybody about the outdoorsy things you get to do with your school.
So, basically, our school is really cool because we get to take days off so we can go hiking and skiing. It's part of our PE program, you know? And my favorite is always the hiking unit that's at the beginning of the year. So we go around hiking around here. It's really cool. You get to see lots of cool things. And also in the wintertime, it's skiing season now, so now we get to go skiing all around. And by the way, I really suck at skiing.
But you enjoy it?
I still enjoy it.
It scares the heck out of me.
I enjoy skiing, just not falling, skiing.
Trenton, tell everybody what you're going to play.
So I'm going to be playing the third movement from the Ravel Sonatine.
You not only have a wonderful way of playing this piece, you have a great way of describing it.
So basically, this sonatine, it consists of three movements in a sonatina. So basically, you have your first movement, and analytically, this whole piece is based on this fourth motive, an interval in music. However, let's make this exciting, and let's call that little fourth thing a bucket of paint. So, say, now we move on to the second movement, and it's relaxing. It's almost the opposite of the first one, because instead of the fourth, it uses, when you flip the fourth upside down, you get the fifth, so it uses the fifth. So let's call that the opposite bucket of paint. So the third movement is where all the exciting stuff happens. So naturally, what would happen is someone trips, knocks over the buckets of paint, and they mix together and lash out at everyone and get minds of their own.
It's a very astute analysis a very colorful way to end our program today. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for joining us and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Trenton, when you're set, please take it from the top.
Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, the assistant music producer is Caroline Cardios-Menos, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with David Forbes and John Servies. Post-production by Tom Bagley. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. and from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, fromthetop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.